Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live and local now for a Wednesday, for a hump day. Good to have you with us. The Clark County School District is the fifth largest school district in the country, and they've got a problem. Whether they want to admit to it or not, they've got a problem. And it's a problem with special needs children. Children that have really the most at stake when going to school. NPRI did a great op-ed piece by Steve Miller. And not the singer, not the musician. The writer, gifted writer, Steve Miller. And joining us now, Michael Schaus, Communications Director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute, better known as NPRI, better known as Nevada Policy. And he joins us in studio. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Happy to be here.
Explain what is going on in Clark County School District. You know, we talk about all the issues that are there and transgender bathrooms and bullying and different things like that. But I think there's nothing more important than the way we treat our kids with special needs. And to a great degree, they're not being served by this school district. Can you talk a little bit about what Steve Miller found in his op-ed piece?
Yeah, he did an amazing 8-part series. So we just released the first part yesterday, but all 8 parts are actually available. You can go in and read all of them. It's a long read, but it's worth it because you look at special needs kids, in particular in Clark County, but really in any school district, and those are the ones that are the most vulnerable. And they're left behind more often than not. And what we've seen in the news repeatedly over the last couple of years here in Clark County is these kids are actually being abused, oftentimes by the actual teachers. There was one case that Steve actually outlined in his op-ed talking about a kid who was grabbed so hard that it bruised the bone and they thought that it might have been fractured. And this was a nonverbal autistic child. So imagine the damage that does to that child. That's all bad enough. What gets even worse is that the district, as the district, they have really blocked any sort of transparency to this. The unions have gone after simple provisions like putting cameras in the classrooms of special needs schools. They've opposed that. And they have repeatedly, time and time again, as is the habit with most school districts across the nation, they have refused to really comply with the letter and the spirit of laws that are set out to protect these special needs kids. And their attitude is, well, if you think we're doing something wrong, sue us. Unfortunately, most parents of special needs kids don't have the financial means to go and actually sue and get things fixed. So it's a really difficult situation because these kids are being abused, they're being mistreated, and there's not really a whole lot that parents can actually do if they even find out about it.
Is that something that NPRI would eventually get into? You've got a legal arm up in Carson City, and you've sued your share of people, entities over the years. Is this something that maybe NPRI somewhere down the road gets involved with?
Yeah, there's two things. Actually, there's a current ongoing court case right now against Clark County School District. And so depending on how that goes, that might actually force them to be a little bit more transparent with some of these things. More importantly than that, from our perspective, this is one of the great, great arguments toward some sort of school choice, in particular for special needs kids, because you're talking about families that are already financially burdened. I mean, having a kid, just, you know, a well-functioning child who is perfectly healthy in every possible way, that's expensive. You start to throw in things like developmental disorders or, you know, some sort of autism, things get really, really financially strained. Giving them the option so that way they're not stuck in a school. I mean, that's the worst part. You think about this poor kid that was hurt by this teacher. The teacher, first of all, was not fired right away. And then, as a parent, what do? If you can't afford to pull that child out of that school and send them somewhere else, you are going to have to continue sending your child to a school where they got abused every single day. It's immoral. I mean, it's beyond wrong. It's actually immoral. So our argument is lawmakers should be making it as easy as possible for families to afford some sort of other educational opportunity for these children.
And again, this isn't just the Clark County School District. This is happening in districts across the state probably across the country. My question is, are the schools helping in the area of transparency? Are they helping to get to the bottom of this and find out, hey, did this teacher really abuse this child? Did this child... suffer bruises almost to the extent where they were afraid there was a fracture. Are they helping or hurting?
Absolutely hurting. And it makes sense when you look at, you know, just the law of incentives. The district doesn't want to be, they're incentivized to hide these types of things because anytime they accept some sort of wrongdoing, that's going to be a major financial strain on the district. So
meaning they get sued.
Oh yeah, they'll get sued. They're going to have to, you know, put in some more programs or policies or what have you. It's going to be expensive for them. So they look around and they say, we need to not accept responsibility for this. And this is, we have a new lawsuit against CCSD for public records. This was a couple weeks ago, I think we announced it. And that public records request that we made that they denied was part of this investigation that Steve was doing. And basically what he was after was he wanted to look and see, is the district firing whistleblowers? Currently, CCSD's policy is already just mind-blowing to me. If you are a CCSD employee, and let's say that you think there's some wrongdoing going on, you believe that a special needs child is being abused or mistreated, you can't report that anonymously. You have to report it with your name, with your job title and everything. And it doesn't even go all the way up to the top of the district. It starts with your immediate supervisor.
Ooh.
So there's real possibility of reprisal. So it's a system set up to discourage whistleblowers from letting the district know that there's something bad going on. And then when a parent finds out about it, they are blocked at every step of the process, all the way to the point of having to go through an entire lawsuit.
We see with cops what body cams have done. And you're telling me that the district doesn't even want security video in their classrooms to where we can either prove or disprove allegations from parents and kids that they're being abused?
Yeah, this is another mind-boggling piece to me. There's been a group of parents who are special needs parents that have been rightfully pushing for cameras in the classrooms. So that way, if there's ever an allegation that, hey, my child was mistreated, you can go back, see the videotape, and understand, okay, yes, this actually happened, or no, this didn't happen. The union fought against that. And it was actually a bill up in the last legislative session, and it got watered down so much that it went from a camera in all special needs classrooms to, all right, we'll put a camera in a couple of classrooms as a pilot program that's only going to last 1 year, and then they'll go away. And they also delete the footage after a set amount of time. So if you find out about an abuse that might have happened, say, 6 months ago, you might not actually have film footage of said alleged abuse. So even in this very simple idea of let's just make sure that we protect kids with cameras, they said no. And again, it boils down to incentives. The union didn't like it because it's going to get teachers in trouble. The district doesn't like it because it's probably going to get them in trouble. So they are incentivized to keep parents in the dark, and it's a really sad state of affairs.
What are the politicians saying about this? And I'm talking about members of the legislature. They fund and oversee. They have oversight of education in our state. And members of the school board, who ran for re-election. Where are we with the politicians? Do they understand there's a problem?
I don't know. I'm going to – normally I'm very, very cynical when it comes to politicians. But I'm actually going to take – I'm going to be a little bit giving them the benefit of the doubt here, because I think that they just don't understand the severity of the problem. They know that there's a problem there. So last legislative session, you know, this bill came up to put – classroom cameras in. Everybody's behind the idea of protecting special needs students. There's just no question about that. Very, very few people are going to be out there saying, yeah, forget about them. So people were excited about that bill. The problem was the union came in, the district came in, all these government insiders came in, tweaked with it so much that it really was very ineffective.
So explain to me, what is their rationale? I mean, I can't see. I mean, body cams have been great for cops because it proves that cops 99.9% of the time do a great job.
Yeah.
Under horrible circumstances. And my guess is cameras in the classroom would vindicate a lot of teachers.
I think so. Their biggest argument has been, quote unquote, privacy concerns. And I'm not exactly sure how they are able to convince lawmakers of that, but you think about a lot of the lawmakers that we have up in Carson City. These are folks who are deferential to the state, so to speak, meaning when the district comes and tells them, hey, this could really endanger somebody's privacy, they don't ask why. They don't start asking questions. They just go, oh, okay, I'll trust you because you're from the district. You know what you're talking about. And that attitude has got to change. Lawmakers really have to wake up to the fact that the district has not always acted in the best interest of these students. And this is not, by the way, just a Clark County problem. We've seen this in the Los Angeles school districts. We've seen this in New York. We've seen this in Washington, D.C. All the major school districts throughout the nation have this problem because of the way the incentives are structured. It's just not incentivizing the district to be transparent, open, and accountable.
So the one group we have not even talked about that maybe we should be talking about, and that is cops, whether it be Metro or it be district cops. What are they doing about this? I mean, or are they getting to these classrooms after the abuse has happened?
Yeah, and that seems to be the big problem here from my perspective as well. Imagine for a second that this was a private school and some teacher had grabbed a hold of a nonverbal autistic child and grabbed a hold of them so hard that bruised and or fractured their wrist. Do you think that school would be under some sort of criminal investigation in about 2 seconds flat? Of course they would be. The teacher would be out of a job. They'd be thrown out.
Unless your wife is the chairman of the Board of Trustees.
Well, there you go.
I mean, then nothing happens. It's okay.
Yeah, then that's the problem. You know, everybody's always got, it always amazes me, folks on the left who are fairly deferential to the state, they always have this idea that all private enterprise is just slimy. You know, that private schools couldn't possibly be good because they're out to make money. And they have such a heavy skepticism of all private industry. And yet you look at government and they think that government's run by saints. You know, honestly, I'm skeptical of just about everybody. I'm very skeptical of private businesses. The only reason why I'm deferential to them is because I don't have to spend my money with them if I don't want to. If you took that same level of skepticism and applied it to government, there's no way you would give school districts the amount of power over our children that they currently have. If you have any skepticism of the folks that are running that, there's no way you would say, here, take my child for, you know, hours and hours and hours out of every single week and give me no power to see what you're doing. There's just no way that anybody would agree to that.
Michael Schaus joining us, Communications Director for NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute. We'll talk more about what I think is an absolute travesty. You've got a school district that may be abusing our special needs children. I'm talking about autistic children and others. And yet nothing seems to be happening. There's no admission of guilt. The school district seems to be afraid that they're going to be sued many times, which is probably which they probably deserve. I don't know. We'll let the courts decide that. We'll let a jury of their peers decide that. We'll talk more about that, and maybe we'll touch on some politics as well after a scorched earth election in the state of Nevada. We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now. Have you always dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with solid computer skills and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be a part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie McKay right now at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447.
For many employers, seeking benefits, it's decision time. This is Pat Casal. I'm with the MultiCare Group, and I'm excited. If you own or operate a business, or if you're head up an HR department, there's a lot of confusion out there when it comes to your employees' healthcare choices. Let us at the MultiCare Group help you navigate the myriad of healthcare options for you and your coworkers. For instance, right now we can offer small groups association health plans. This is an opportunity for you to buy a plan using the various chambers and get a multi-year rate lock. Very important, rate stability for the first time in 5 years. I'm talking about PPO plans with national access to providers, the ability to offer multiple options to your employees while providing the employer with many ways to limit their exposure. For more information, call Patrick Casal at the MultiCare Group. My cell number is 702-286-1014. That's 702-286-1014. Or try the office 396-9449. Give us a call today and see where your options lie and how you may be able to offer quality benefits.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. But boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute, and this is your Nevada Policy Update. Last month, we won a major multi-year lawsuit against the Nevada Public Employee Retirement System after they refused to release basic information about how they spend your tax dollars. It was an important win, and it was a precedent-setting, but it's really just the beginning if we want government in Nevada to be transparent. PERS is going to be at it again, intentionally concealing public information in absolutely no time. That's because, like an increasing number of other government agencies, the individuals running it know that they don't face any penalty when they violate Nevada's open records law. Yeah, the agency pays some attorney fees, but they do so with your tax dollars. When you or I violate the law, we face penalties. Government officials shouldn't be any different. This is why lawmakers in 2019 need to add teeth to Nevada's open records law and actual penalties for agencies and government officials who knowingly violate that law. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more. That's NevadaPolicy.org. I'm Michael Schaus with the Nevada Policy Research Institute.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
W Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. We're talking about special needs children in the Clark County School District. Now, a lot of you in places like Washoe County may say, you know, this is going on here too. Or Esmeralda County, wherever it might be. Nye County. It may be happening where you live as well. What we do know, and if you've read part one of Steve Miller's great piece on special needs kids and how they are being abused by the Clark County School District, it really is troubling. And the fact that this was not a part of the recent school board elections is beyond me. It's like nobody's talking about it. Well, we're going to talk about it. In fact, Michael Schaus joining us, Communications Director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute. And we've got a number of people who want to talk about this. If you are a special needs mom or dad in the Clark County School District, I would be interested to know what type of service you're getting from your school district. Is your child being abused? And there are people that honestly believe that. This may ultimately end up in court. There will be lawsuits, and it may cost the district millions of dollars. We don't know yet. Here's the number, 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. That's how you reach me. Tell you what, let's go to your calls. Let's begin with Jenna. Jenna, you're up, and you're on Live and Local Now. I'm Kevin Wall. That's Michael Schaus from NPRI. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wall.
What's going on? By the way, it's Kevin. My friends call me Kevin, so call me Kevin.
Kevin. Okay, Kevin. Will do. I have a son with autism, and he is in the school system here in Las Vegas. And there was a question in one of his classes where a teacher wasn't educating them properly. They had told me all of a sudden he had straight A's. They weren't sending homework home. It was a question for me, so when I started to question that, all of a sudden, my son was being agitated in class, and one day he came into class. The teacher said to him, sit down. He said, oh, look, I hurt myself. I need to go to the nurse. She refused to let him go to the nurse and literally tried to push my son into a chair. When he wouldn't sit down because he insisted on going to see the nurse, she body checked him, and he fell and hit his head on the desk, and when she tried to pull him up, he pushed her away and ran out of the classroom.
Wow.
It was later turned. It was awful. My son, he's very straightforward. You know, even if he says a naughty word, he says, Mom, you know what? I said this. You know, this was bad, whatever.
Hey, Jenna. I'm gonna put you on hold for just a couple of minutes. We got to get to a break.
Okay.
But I want to hear all of your story, so I'm going to put you on hold. That's Jenna.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It's very scary.
And that's just one example. If you want to join us, if you have a special needs child, if you think they've been abused in the Clark County School District, I want to hear from you right now at 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. Along with Michael Schaus, Communications Director from NPRI, as we continue Live and Local now. It is Live and Local Now. Jenna was with us online before we so rudely interrupted her. Jenna, tell your story again and your son's story.
Okay. My son went to school one day, just had a rough time in gym class, went to his other class. The teacher tried to get him to sit down. He said, look, I want to go to the nurse. When she refused on three different occasions, she tried to force him to sit. And when he wouldn't sit down, because he, once they get an idea in their mind, they want to get that done. So he wanted to go to the nurse. She said no, body checked him into his seat. He fell and hit his head. Then when she tried to pull him up off the ground, of course, he pushed her away, because I taught him push away and then, you know, fight to get out and run. And he ran to a safe spot and sat down. assistant principal came, sat with him. He was fine and calm. Then when the teacher who had abused him came out, she just, tried to pull him back in class. He kicked at her and said, no, get away, leave me alone.
How old was he?
And then she left.
How old was his, was your son at the
11.
Time? 11 years old.
11.
Wow.
And instead of, when I pushed and got him an advocate, instead of trying, to figure out what this teacher had done wrong, the teacher went and made a false accusation against my son and said that he struck her for no reason, just because she asked him to do homework, which my son is not like that. It was completely out of character for him, and he's a very straightforward boy. So when that happened, of course, she pressed charges, and it was sent to court. Now, we've been in court 7 to 9 times now, going back and forth and just fighting with the court to try and get them to understand, hey, look, my son is innocent. He did not do this, and it doesn't really, seem to matter. It seems to be falling on deaf ears. But we do have a public defender, so it's kind of the public defender we have has never worked with an autistic child before, so this is a first. But they do have something called day court, and it's for kids with autism. They go into this special court, and the court, the judge has a child with autism as well. So she tries to cater these programs to these kids. But the thing is, in my case, my son didn't need these programs. He already has a good group around him of support, and they don't care, and they kept pushing and pushing and pushing, but they're not looking at this teacher. And had there been cameras in this classroom, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Jenna, quick question.
Yeah.
Who sued who's taking whom to court? Did they take your son to court, or are you taking the district to court?
The teacher pressed charges against my son.
Yeah.
So when we went to court, there was that charge that was filed against him for assault. And so now it's just me battling to try and not get that on his record, which is very difficult. And they want me to go into all these services that my son doesn't need.
Well, and
he's not a violent kid.
Jenna, I got got another question for you. How transparent has the school district been with you? I mean, when you guys are asking for information, regarding this incident and everything, have they been really straightforward and helpful, or have they been kind of closed?
No.
Yeah, see, that's...
They've been very closed. It started off with a bullying issue, and when I asked for paperwork to fill out a report, they said, oh, there's no paperwork for that sort of thing, and they swept it under the rug. And it's been a battle ever since. Now, whenever there's an incident in a school, the teacher has to fill out a report at the end of the day. So they go in and fill out this report, and what happened on this particular day, they opened the report but didn't fill anything out for another, I believe it was 9 days. But any other report that has been done in the classroom, like when it involved a bully and not a teacher, the report is filled out the same day, which is how it's supposed to be done. But on this one, we noticed once I got the advocate and we looked at this information to bring to court, this particular day was completely left open. So they filled in the blanks after as they needed for them.
So is your child is your child still going to that school, or did you guys find an alternative, or are you guys?
Oh no, I removed him that day. Once my son told me what happened, I homeschooled him for a couple of weeks, and then we had him move to another school, and now he's successful, not one incident the entire year.
And by the way, Jenna, is it a Clark County School District school, or did you go private?
Yes. Clark County. I don't have the budget for private. I wish I did, or else I would have.
And that's where ESAs or school choice would have been good for somebody like you.
Yeah, even if it's for limited, applications such as low income or special needs or something. Just having more options would have allowed so much more peace of mind, from my perspective.
Yes.
What is different? Same school district, still the fifth largest school district in the country. Still, no cameras in the classrooms. What is different about the school you're in? And by the way, do you want to give them some publicity?
You mean the school where you have the problems?
No. Well, both, for that matter.
Well, the school where he's successful, it's Seville, Anthony Seville Middle School. The teachers are great. The staff is great. They work with you. If there's an issue, you work together. It's an immaculate school in regard to the people that you're dealing with. His old school, it was Levitt Middle School, whereas he had all the problems there. But to be straightforward, cameras in classrooms like that would be so helpful, not just for the student, but for the teacher as well, because some parents are very blind to what their kids do when they're not with them. So I think it's good for both sides, not just one, because you get to see, okay, look, this is what my son is doing. This is the kind of help that I can get him. Or if it's a teacher, I'm sorry, that teacher shouldn't have a job.
And by the way, does it bother you, Jenna? I regard our relationship with folks like the school board, the board of trustees, the school district. They essentially work for us. Our taxpayer dollars pay their salaries. Right. And I guess my question is, do you ever get the sense that you're not being treated like the boss, or you're not being treated like a customer, and that you're
100%.
I mean, the relationship 100%. Seems way out of whack.
It is. And the thing is, when you go in as a parent, my original gripe with this teacher was that they weren't teaching my son. And when I went in and I said, look, I'm a proactive mom. I get in there. I want to know what's happening with him. You're not sending home any homework. I found out that they were giving my son the worksheet, and then they were giving him and all of the students another worksheet on top of it that had the answers on it. And so they said, oh, your son's getting straight A's. This was supposed to be a model school. And when I tested him myself, of course, he knew none of what they gave him. And it was just them putting answers right in front of him and having him copy them down. So that's when all the problems really started, was after that. Once I started to push and really investigate, you know, it seemed like they started to agitate him on purpose. So it really, and they want to defend their teachers. Look, I love teachers. Like I said, the ones at his school now are fantastic. But the way they protect the ones that are bad, or at least give it the time to investigate, they're not doing that.
Yeah,
well, and I think they're just stepping back and washing their hands of it because they just want that glowing review that their school is just the best.
Yeah, and especially when you're talking about special needs kids, because sometimes a teacher doing something wrong, that can cause some very severe consequences for that principal or that teacher or that school, or you know, maybe even the whole school district. So again, it's a sad, sad truth that in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, they really circle the wagons around somebody who's doing legitimately a bad actor.
Hey, Jenna, where are you in the litigation? Yes. How far down the road are you in the litigation with the school district and your son?
Well, right now they've forced us to go into a program, so we had to. I literally just faxed everything over this morning, signing up for different programs. To where they'll have him evaluated, which he's had three evaluations done already. And so we go through that process again, have him reevaluated, and then they're going to determine what services my son needs. So I said to them, look, you have to really do a reevaluation because you have to base it off of who he is now, and what he contributes to his school now. So we're just in limbo. I mean, literally every time we go back, it's something else that they send us back for. Then we have to come back and check in again. It's a real waste of taxpayer dollars as well. It really is.
Jenna, I feel for you. I wish you and your son and your family well. We're going to put you on hold because I would like to get your contact information, and we'll continue to follow this. I know the folks at NPRI will follow it as well. But that's really sad. I mean, you forget. I mean, we're the customer.
Yeah.
You know, the customer's always right.
Apparently not.
I guess not.
Apparently
not. Not with the Clark County School District.
Yeah, and that's the most frustrating part. You look every other part of our life. You know, if you have a son or a daughter and you look at the way that you raise them, everything you do for them, from the pediatrician that you pick to the daycare that you send them to, you have choices and you have options and you really do your homework. And then, unfortunately, with the public school system, so often you're just stuck with whatever they give you.
Tell you what, let's do a sequence, squeeze in another couple of calls. Dwayne, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. I'm Kevin Wall. That is Michael Shouse from NPRI. Good morning.
Good morning. I was listening. You guys were asking for calls for parents. I'm actually the husband of a special needs teacher.
Excellent.
Outstanding. Thank your spouse. Because that's a job that is not easy to do, I know. What has been your wife's experience?
Well, she's always telling me how they have some children and stuff that throw temper tantrums and start throwing things, and they're not allowed to touch them or pick them up, and so they have to try to corral them into an area away from the other kids so they don't hurt the kids, and they, like, get them into the office, and they, like, destroy the office while they wait for the parent to show up, or they'll, like, break their tablets. They had even one other teacher and stuff that got a broken nose from a chair that was thrown.
You know, this is actually a great opportunity to point out, you know, everything that we've been complaining about as far as the district, you know, we've been talking about it from the parent standpoint. The truth is, a lot of the teachers are not set up to succeed. The system and the bureaucracy that's in place in the district does a disservice to the teachers as well. So, and that is kind of lost because they don't have the tools available at their disposal in order to effectively teach some of these children. So it is frustrating. And this is a big part of the reason why we wanted to expose this story, was because ultimately, if the teachers aren't set up to succeed, the people who really, really face the brunt of that, unfortunately, are the kids.
Dwayne, does your wife feel safe in the classroom?
Her kids are small enough so where they can't do much damage to her.
Munchkins.
But she's concerned for the other kids.
Okay. But munchkins can't do as much damage, but 11-year-old probably could.
Yes.
Yeah. Does she like the work she does?
She loves it, and so she wouldn't do anything else. And so, because she loves the kids, she loves seeing the progress and everything. So she gets some kids and stuff that can't even really speak when they first start with her.
Boy, that's got to be gratifying work. Hey, Dwayne, thank you very much. Give my best to your wife and thank her for it, will you, please?
Thank you.
There you go. That's Dwayne. Yeah. And again, there are two sides to these stories. But when you press charges against an 11-year-old kid who's autistic, special needs,
yeah.
You know.
You ought to have... It's just amazing to me how in a system where, you know, we're always talking about the most vulnerable members of society,
yep.
and in this case, most vulnerable kids in society, you know, there has got to be provisions put in place to make their safety an absolute priority. And individual teachers, I know that individual teachers try to do that. The problem with the system, and it's not just a Clark County problem, it's all school systems, they're just not set up to, they're not equipped to really tackle this problem. This is something that every school district seems to struggle with.
I know we were going to talk some politics, and we didn't really get a chance. And I know we'll be talking more about this subject, because this is just like part one of a series that NPRI is doing. And Steve Miller did an amazing job. I read part one, and he's a very gifted writer. And he did a lot of research. And it shows. Parts 2 through 8. Are there going to be some bombshells there?
There is actually some of the stuff that he pulled up from the district. He talked to a lot of lawyers who have litigated some of these cases on both sides of the aisle throughout the country. And there's just some stuff in there that make you sit back and think to yourself, I can't believe that we have a system that allows this type of abuse to happen. It's disturbing, but it is also encouraging, because I think that there are plenty of parents out there that if they knew about it, they'd be very, very anxious to make positive change. And a lot of teachers, too.
And I'm curious, a lot of times an op-ed piece or an investigative piece like what Steve Miller does dredges up the problem. Here's the problem, but they don't give a solution. Are there any solutions in this 8-part series?
There are a handful of solutions. We take a look at what some other states have done, what some other school districts have done, and also some of the things that we know could help if we just implemented them here. I mean, cameras are obviously a great, easy example, but also increase school choice. Special needs school choice programs exist in a lot of other states, And it's seen a ton of benefits, not only for the students, but also for the districts, because the districts then have more resources for the few special needs students that decide to remain in that district. So this is, you know, we look at things that have happened across the nation that have had a very positive impact, and we want to amplify that here.
If there are parents out there of special needs children in the Clark County School District, or for that matter, around the state of Nevada, those of you in Washoe County, other counties around the state, if you have special needs kids, you need to see this eight-part series. Where can they find it?
If you go to npri.org, it's right there on the homepage. You can't even miss it. There's the first part that's posted up there, and then links to all the other parts. So if you're like me and you want to binge read, you can go ahead and just binge read all eight parts. You don't have to wait for us to release them one at a time. But yeah, just npri.org. You can also contact us if you want to get more involved. Legislative session is coming up. Again, I think this is an issue that will resonate regardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican. So if you want to get involved, yeah, let us know. You know, ultimately, it's going to take parents to get things changed.
Thanks to Jenna, our caller. Thanks to Michael Shouse. Thanks so much, man. We didn't get a chance to talk politics. We'll do it next time, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
That's Michael Shouse, Communications Director for NPRI. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It is Hump Day. It is live and local now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
I am Michael Shouse, Communications Director for the Nevada Policy Research Institute, and this is your Nevada Policy Update. Last month, we won a major multi-year lawsuit against the Nevada Public Employee Retirement System after they refused to release basic information about how they spend your tax dollars. It was an important win, and it was a precedent-setting, but it's really just the beginning if we want government in Nevada to be transparent. PERS is going to be at it again, intentionally concealing public information in absolutely no time. That's because, like an increasing number of other government agencies, the individuals running it know that they don't face any penalty when they violate Nevada's open records law. Yeah, the agency pays some attorney fees, but they do so with your tax dollars. When you or I violate the law, we face penalties. Government officials shouldn't be any different. This is why lawmakers in 2019 need to add teeth to Nevada's open records law and actual penalties for agencies and government officials who knowingly violate that law. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more. That's NevadaPolicy.org. I'm Michael Shouse with the Nevada Policy Research Institute.
Thanksgiving is extra special at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Again this year, Rhythm Kitchen will be open Thanksgiving Day, serving a traditional Cajun Thanksgiving dinner, including fried turkey, fried catfish, and Rhythm Kitchen's world-famous jambalaya. Plus, Cajun stuffing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, a cold salad bar, and of course, Thanksgiving pies. It makes me hungry just thinking about it. Celebrate upstairs in the ballroom, enjoying their Thanksgiving buffet beginning at noon, or downstairs seating starts at 4. Or if you prefer to eat at home, a family-style Thanksgiving dinner is available for takeout with a minimum 24-hour pre-order. Call 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. This year, make it a Cajun Thanksgiving at Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost. The list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, Taxes have increased dramatically this past year, and regulation just keeps increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the Real Chamber of Commerce. Please, join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Coming up in just a matter of minutes. You're not going to believe this. Cassie Smedley will join us. She and I have a unique commonality. We're both from Kansas City. We both went to Catholic high schools. I know exactly where she went to school. We'll talk with her about the latest going on in Florida. Where are we? The deadline for counting all the votes is tomorrow. Will they make the deadline? What about the litigation? That's all coming up. Top of the hour, Cassie Smedley, she's a communications director for the Republican National Committee. We'll talk with her about what happened there. We might even talk about what happened out here, and this, and in the West, you know, Arizona. Look at what happened in Arizona. In fact, I tell you what, let's see if we can squeeze in one quick call. Go to my buddy Frank. Frank, you're up. You're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead.
Kansas City, here I come.
There you go.
You ever get tired of that song?
I do not.
When I got discharged in 86, I had a bunch of really bright friends. You get out of high school or you get out of college, you know, they got into teaching. And we were doing the nightclub scene, and I asked him. And they were discussing the problems of teaching. It was about six or seven. There was a group of 8 to 10 of us, by the way. And they were all involved with teaching community. And I said, put a camera in the class. Wasn't allowed. Kevin, you got into you broke out in this market. How long ago? And how long was I pounding the radio stations about cameras for cops? How about cameras for teachers?
No.
Love you, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. No, he's exactly right. We need cameras in the classroom, especially for our special needs kids, because they are the most vulnerable. You know, we always talk about bullying in the classroom and all that. Hey, the fact is, we got problems, and some of it may be with some of our special needs teachers. And by the way, pressing charges against an 11-year-old? Are you kidding me? We'll get to that and more coming up. Cassie Smedley, Communications Director for the Republican National Committee, will join us from Washington. That's all next, Live and Local, now. Hot air ballooning. Over the decades, many of you have enjoyed the freedom of flight, floating high above the Las Vegas Valley, overlooking the beauty and diversity of our great city. But one segment of our society has been denied that opportunity. Wounded warriors, seniors, children with disabilities, in fact, anyone who's mobility challenged or might have trouble coming aboard. But all that has changed. Hey, Kevin Wall here, chairman of the board of Chariot of Fire Ballooning, a new 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide free or subsidized flights for those who can't afford it on one of a handful of hot air balloons in the world that are wheelchair accessible. Unlike other hot air balloons where you have to climb up and over into the basket, Chariot of Fire features a basket with a ramp so that everyone can come aboard with ease and with dignity. But I need your help. If you'd like to help wounded warriors and others in our community who are mobility challenged to live out their dream of flight, check out chariotoffireballooning.org. Your donation is tax deductible. That's chariotoffireballooning.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity.